Unseen Footprints, Encountering the Divine Along the Journey of Life by Sheridan Voysey.
Well, welcome to episode 4 of the Unseen Footprints podcast. I'm Sheridan Voysey. Thank you for joining me for this special series of stories and reflections taken from my book, Unseen Footprints, Encountering the Divine Along the Journey of Life. Today, how do you hear from God? How can we learn to hear God's whispers to us? In Unseen Footprints, I suggest that God is trying to get our attention. In varied means and ways, he is drawing us to himself, kind of beckoning us to find him. But he rarely shouts to make himself heard. Instead, he whispers to us. Before we've even opened a Bible, he has been drawing, beckoning, whispering. So the real question is, will we stop to hear him? Will we even attempt to hear his voice? In this podcast, we're going to explore 4 ways that God whispers to us and how we can hear those whispers. Now, I flesh out these ideas in much greater detail in the book and actually explore some other ways God speaks to us as well. But I think these 4 ways, ranging from the general to the more personal, will get you started. Firstly, I think God whispers to us through the grandeur of the world. Ours is a most incredible universe, a cosmos of 50 billion known galaxies. The better the telescopes get, the more galaxies we actually find. And it is a universe inexplicably hospitable to human life. This is what scientists and philosophers like Martin Rees and Alistair McGrath have been telling us for a while, that this universe seems fine-tuned for our existence. Let me give you a few examples. Take the Big Bang. If our cosmos did begin with such an explosion, it would have to have exploded with just the right amount of force for our universe to have formed. If it had burst with too little velocity, the universe would have collapsed back in on itself shortly after the explosion. But if the blast had too much velocity, matter would have streaked away so fast it would have been impossible for galaxies and solar systems to form. Or what about gravity? If gravity were only slightly stronger, stars would flame so fiercely they would burn out in a year, leaving us with a universe of cinders. But if gravity were only slightly weaker, stars couldn't form, and the universe would be a thin, undifferentiated blur. Beauty is another example of the grandeur of the world, and this is a personal favourite of mine. I'm a real sucker, I guess, for beauty. But the fact is, there's no real reason to expect beauty to exist, to expect beauty to evolve. It doesn't enhance our ability to survive, and it doesn't really abide by the rules of natural selection. And by the way, the human ability to appreciate beauty raises similar arguments from the philosophers. Aesthetic enjoyment is just not essential for our existence. There are plenty of animals and insects that get along in this world quite fine without the ability, say, to detect colour. So the question is, could the grandeur of the world be God's whisper to us, inviting us to discover the one who made it? Secondly, God whispers to us through human experiences. Human experiences like laughter and play. Sociologist Peter Berger has written a fascinating little book called A Rumor of Angels, and in it he describes human behaviours that he believes are what he calls, quote, signals of transcendence. They're natural experiences that point to a supernatural world beyond them. I'll give you another couple of examples. Humour. Most of our humour highlights a discrepancy between the way life is and the way it ought to be. You think about it. What do we laugh at most? It's our failures. We fall over. We laugh at ourselves. We say something silly. We laugh at ourselves. Like the lady who said, "I want to die peacefully in my sleep, just like my dad," not screaming in terror like his passengers. The satire of the political cartoonist and the bumbling adventures of a stand-up comic both describe a world of imperfection. Now, when we laugh at that imperfection, we are subtly suggesting that imperfection is not the way things should be. We're subtly suggesting that there is the possibility, maybe even the reality, of a perfect world. Play is another heavenly experience in this regard. Have you ever been lost in a game of sport, or a hobby, or some sort of creative endeavour, and felt like time has just stood still? Photography is like that for me. When I go out on some sort of shoot, I just enter some other world, and I forget all about time, as my wife will remind me. I'll come back late to the coffee shop, or to home, or whatever it might be. It's as if when we kind of enter this joyful, playful experience, we enter an alternative universe from the serious world of work and responsibility, a universe where time seems to fly by without our awareness, where pain and death seem to be far away from us. As we play, it's as if we experience for just a moment what an eternal state of joy might be like. As we play, it's as if God opens our eyes to catch a glimpse of heaven. It's as if he's whispering to us to suggest, here is a taste of another world. Thirdly, I believe God whispers to us through the love of others. In Unseen Footprints, I tell the story of Johnny Lee Clary, the former imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. It's quite a story. When his father committed suicide, and his mother then showed little interest in looking after him, Johnny found himself in the first group that came along offering him a sense of belonging. It was the Klan. Johnny rose through the KKK ranks, abusing African Americans, burning down their churches, and recruiting others to do the same. But then Johnny met a black Baptist preacher named Wade Watts. Reverend Watts prayed for Johnny and refused to retaliate, even though Johnny burnt down his churches and harassed his family. In fact, Wade Watts had 13 children, some of them were adopted, and they had to be escorted to school by police simply because of what Johnny Lee Clary was doing to them. But through the Reverend Watts's persistent love, Johnny heard the whisper of a good and loving God calling him to another way. And fourthly, God sometimes speaks to us directly. This is where, I guess you could say, God's whispers get a bit louder. Now, I've already mentioned the examples of Mother Teresa, David Wilkerson, and Florence Nightingale in an earlier podcast. Each of these people heard a voice that led them on to their significant life ventures. Well-known American church leader Mark Driscoll once told me in an interview that he heard a distinct, audible voice direct him to marry his wife and to start his church. Others have heard God speak to them clearly through a dream. I recount two instances of such an experience in the book, one from a suburban housewife and this one from a missionary in Africa. Here's the story from the Unseen Footprints audiobook. Missionary Ben Staggs describes such an experience when visiting the Boshu people, an extremely isolated group in Ethiopia's Mien territory. On arrival, Ben and his team were welcomed by a local named Gulon Kobuli. "We sat down and spoke a bit," says Ben, explaining that we had come to tell them of God's talk. "I described who God is, what he is like, and where he lives. But Gulon hardly needed informing. He suddenly spoke up. We must follow Christosi, the Mien word for Christ." Astonished, as Christ's name had never even been mentioned, Ben asked Gulon where he'd heard that name from. Gulon explained that Christ had appeared to him in a dream, told him that it was he who had given Gulon his life, blood and bones, and that Gulon was to follow him. Christ then said that in just 5 days, someone would come to tell him about following that path. Ben and his team had landed on the fifth day after the dream. Now, I know most of us know of well-meaning but ultimately misguided people who have claimed to hear God's voice, but were in fact just hearing nothing more than the wishes of their own subconscious minds. We've got to be careful in this whole area of hearing God's voice, literally. But the counterfeit shouldn't discount the authentic, especially when such experiences are objectively confirmed, just like the story you've heard. Especially when they're in line with God's nature and ways, and especially when they lead to the benefit of others as well. So I guess the next question to ask is, how do we hear these whispers from God ourselves? I've got an exercise with a free downloadable worksheet to help you do this at SheridanVoisey.com. You'll find it at the blog post titled Hearing the Whispers of God. As you do that exercise, reflecting on the loving people, the significant places, and the memorable experiences in your life, you just might discover that God has been whispering to you for quite some time. Okay, so how has God whispered to you in the past? How has God gotten your attention? I'd love to know your story, your experience at the blog, SheridanVoisey.com. While you're there, please help yourself to the other free Unseen Footprints resources available. There are chapters, audiobook files, related articles and talks. The Unseen Footprints paperbook, ebook, and audiobook is available there too, and also at amazon.com. In the next podcast, we'll look at our images of God. What is God like to you? Is God happy, angry? Is God loving towards you? Is God disappointed in you? We all hold an image of God in our minds. It didn't just pop out of nowhere. It came from somewhere, from something we read, something we watched, some sort of conversation we've had. We'll explore how we got those images, how they affect our spiritual lives, and most importantly, how we can begin to build a proper image of God in our own minds. I look forward to speaking to you then. Take care.
Unseen Footprints. Encountering the Divine Along the Journey of Life by Sheridan Voysey. Please visit SheridanVoysey.com to share your thoughts in this book and explore other resources.